Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts. The Peach Edition. Huh? Your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene. Hello.
Hello. Today we are Peachy Queens.
It's
Peach
true. Queens. It's Peach Day.
Peach it's Day Peach up Day in on here. The pod.
It happened.
All right. So, everyone, we did what we promised we would do.
Yep.
No one can say we're not women of our words, huh?
True fact.
So, if you missed this saga, welcome to the epic conclusion. Basically, what happened was 5 years ago, four or
in
5 years ago. In 2020, so 4 years ago, we made a promise. We promised that if we ever reached $5,000 Canadian dollars of monthly support on our Patreon, we would dye our hair peach.
Yeah.
At the time, I bet we had 20 patrons. And so we thought
that would never happen. Yeah, it was a crazy dream, truly.
First of all, we thought it was like we were really shooting for the stars there. And secondly, I honestly do think we probably thought that it would be like it would just never actually reach
Yeah,
that
and if
much.
It did, it would be like, oh, we would be so rich that we wouldn't care if our hair is messed up, which is like not the case at all.
As my mother said when I told her, this is why you don't make promises.
Yeah, never say you'll do anything
like,
ever.
This is why you don't make promises to the internet, is what she said. It was very funny because basically I was so scared to tell my mom that I was doing this. My mom is very emotionally attached to my hair, and I think that a lot of Latinos out there know exactly what I'm talking about, where your parents just have like a weird involvement in your hair. Anyways, so she was like, I was dreading telling her. When I was like 21 or 22, I cut my hair and my mom cried. Like, oh. it was a whole thing, right? And then a couple years later, I dyed it and she was just like, you know what I mean? Like, she had to like take deep breaths and everything. So this time I was like, I was so scared to tell her. We had booked the appointment like a month in advance.
Yeah.
I didn't tell her until 3 days before the appointment.
That really scared me.
And I was like,
you needed that.
I was like, Mama, I need to tell you something. And she's like, ay, Dios, what is it? And I was like, I am going to dye my hair peach. Hear me out. And she was just like freaking out. Not
yeah,
she was
but like,
really
why?
Funny.
Why?
And I explained the whole podcast thing. And so she respected it. She was like, well, you have to do it because
yes,
you told
yes,
them
she
you,
understands
you had
that.
To do it. She understood. But she was so funny about it. And she said, I guess this is the last crazy thing you're doing for your 20s. And I was like, yep. Yes, this is as wild as it gets for me. I'm going to dye my hair peach.
Yep, and call it a year.
But you know what? When I walked inside the door, like I got back from the appointment, I walked in the door. She was clearly like on tenterhooks.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my God, oh my God. And then I opened the door and she was like, you look really cute.
Aww.
I was like, yay. She's like, wait, it's so nice. I think she thought I was going to dye my entire head peach.
That's,
which,
yeah, that's
fair
what everybody
enough,
thinks.
That would, I think it would look cool. But that's
it would be
not
scary.
What I wanted to do. It would be a little too much for me. And so she was like, wait, this is cute. They're just like highlights. I was like, yeah, they're peach highlights. She's like, I love it. So
she's so
actually
cute.
Has really come around to it.
Oh, I love that. I actually saw my mom right after my appointment as well.
Oh,
which is
what
kind
did
of
she
funny.
Say?
Well, it was funny because I was texting like everybody during my appointment because I had so much time. And I was like, oh, yeah, mom, it's happening. Peach Day is happening. And she was like, oh, I just made a loaf of sourdough and I have some jam. Do you want to come over and grab it? And I was like, yeah.
Yes.
So I was like, I'm coming. And so I went over there and she opened the door and she just went, oh, it's so pretty. It was,
yay.
Yeah. So that was really nice. And then I got to come home with some fresh bread. So
wow.
All in all, a
pretty cool day.
Successful day.
Yeah, no kidding. So both of us have peach nails. We've leaned into the peach theme. We have peach nails,
peachy.
Which is very fun. I have peach tea. Well, it's peach colored tea. It's actually pomegranate and raspberry or something, but it looks peachy.
Damn,
I
should have made peach tea. I forgot to do that. But I have some peach things as well. I have this mug that yes. has little peaches so all over cute. It. It's a clear glass mug and it's got little peaches
so cute.
And says peachy. So that's pretty cool. I also, I'll quickly run through the list of all the peach things I've bought if I can yes. remember them also. Yes. I already had a peach hand cream, so I was good there, but I got lip balm. I got a body okay. lotion. I okay. got the flavor syrup pump to put into drinks.
Yes.
I yep. got multiple different types of energy drinks. There's lots of like sugar-free energy drinks. And so every time I saw one, I was like, boom, peach. Turns out peach is a huge flavor everywhere. Who would have thought? What else did I do? I bought actual peach slices in a jar and I have been snacking on those.
That's so funny.
And multiple candles. I think that's yes, pretty much. Oh, and a deodorant that I haven't started using yet.
Oh, a peach deodorant.
I know there's peach everywhere. So that's it's so been funny. Really fun. And just like soda water, flavored peach, you know, anything I see that's peach, I've been just grabbing.
Isn't that funny? We've like, everyone listening to this who is into colors, you know, the color
yeah,
fandom
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, that's a people knows, for sure.
Knows that this year is Pantone picked 2024's color as peach fuzz. Mm-hmm. So like the official color of 2024 is peach, but this has nothing to do with that. Like
no.
we literally picked peach as our color in 2020. If we ever, it could have been any year that we could have hit that goal.
I know.
It's just, so it, a lot, the stars align.
But it's, yeah.
I do think that more like companies are making more peach stuff because of Pantone, but it feels like they're making it for us. So
yeah, like, thank you. I'm going to keep embracing it for a while. I'm not sick of it yet. I'm ready to
Same.
Keep being
yeah.
peachy.
No, I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
I did realize I really don't own any peach clothing. This is definitely my only peach shirt. Mm. And then I have a lot of pink, but not a lot of peach.
Yeah.
But yes. So in honor of our peach hair, we both read peach books.
Yes.
So we will be doing a peach book review for you guys, which I'm looking forward to. And we have lots of other reading updates and everything. But first, we want to talk a little bit about our peach hair experience, because I know a lot of people listening have been eagerly anticipating this moment. So we want to tell you all about it. The one note that I have, while I still have a lot of you here, is we have peach hats available. Peach toques or beanies, peach toques available mm-hmm. now on our website. So I'll link those down below. They are available for pre-order right now. So you can buy it and it will be shipped to you once we get them in stock. And they're a cute way to make your hair peach. I'm trying to like think of a commercial ad here. Your hair peach without the dye.
Boom.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's perfect. And we do have some other potential merch ideas in the works that have
yes,
maybe not been
confirmed
yet.
Yes, we have some peachy
things.
We are
not
going
done.
On.
This no. is or the year of peach for all of us.
This is the peach year. But yeah, okay, Raylene, how about you just walk us through a couple minutes here of your experience getting your hair done?
Yes.
I'd love to hear
yes.
that.
So
I've heard the tale like three times because we did our live show yesterday, but also we were texting live because we had our appointment at the exact same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, we were really doing it together at the same time, which was fun. Ariel was a couple hours ahead of me, so she gave me a great tip, bring snacks because, you know, we're going to be
yes.
there for about 4 hours. And I was like, that's really smart. So I brought myself some snacks. I had my
Good.
Water and I was like, okay, I'm feeling prepared. And but my whole thing was leading up to the appointment, like for the past month, I've been telling people I was going to do like an ombre just along
yeah.
the whole bottom of my hair. And for people watching on video, you can see that I did not do that. So I showed up to the appointment and my hairdresser was like, okay, so do you still want to do that? Or like, what are you thinking? And I was like, I don't know. What do you think? Like, what do you want to do? And she was like, well, I love doing color blocking. So we could do like one big chunk on, you know, the front on one side and then the, kind of like an under thing going on the other side. And she showed me a couple pictures and I was like, yes, let's definitely do that. I'm way more excited about that idea. Less damage to my hair, less like just outright peachy. So I was,
yep.
I landed on that idea. And so that's what we did. And so went through, you know, bleached my hair. It wasn't completely lifted at the bottoms because my hair has been previously dyed with a black brown
right.
box dye. So she yep. just like lightened them up a little bit more after we washed the bleach out. So I got like double bleached and my hair still feels okay. So I'm like, whew, I'm feeling good about that. But yeah,
yeah,
so basically just bleached my hair, rinsed it out, put the peach dye on. And I was so lucky that they had a dye that was perfectly the peach color I wanted. We didn't have to mess around with mixing colors. And so we just put the dye on and then here I am. I also got a nice haircut, so I feel like refreshed.
Yes, I love the haircut.
And happy. I've got little like curtain bangs now, which is really fun. And I'm just really excited about life. Having new hair makes me feel so good and makes me wonder why I don't get haircuts as often as I should, clearly, because it makes me feel so good. But also I'm like, maybe I need to like get my hair professionally dyed more often too, because this was a nice experience.
Yeah. Very good. So one difference between you and I is that you, this is intimate knowledge, I suppose, but you've showered since our appointment.
Yes. This is a one wash hair color. So it was a little bit more vibrant yesterday.
Yeah, I think because yesterday we did our Patreon live show, which we do every month, and your hair was a little closer to my hair color. It was a little bit more vibrant. Mm-hmm. So I specifically haven't showered, washed my hair because I've been so scared. I don't know. I'm just nervous. And I wanted to make sure that it looked like as nice as when my hairdresser did it for this initial episode. But I'm also very excited to wash it out because the color is quite vibrant. Mm-hmm. And so I think it will become peachier.
Yeah.
It'll be lighter nice and lighter peachy. So, so that's a little difference between, if you're wondering why Raylene and I's hair color are a little different, it's because she's already one wash in, baby.
I am happy.
And I think it looks really, I think it looks like actually peach.
Yeah, because yesterday it was more orange, I would say. Like it was definitely it was a little peach, more orange. But it was definitely like stronger on the orange front. And yours is really strong on the pink front right now. So I think
I know when I wash it once, it's going to be the peach that we kind of envisaged. But it's really cute right now.
It is really cute.
Okay, so for my little experience, I went to Halifax with my hairstylist who's done my hair in the past because they are so talented, and I was like, I can't do this in a place I don't trust. I need someone who I know is going to do a good job. So I was like very excited that they had a slot available, and we really did spend the entire day together. Like my appointment started at 11 and I didn't leave till 4. So it was a long time. So I think my appointment was 5 hours. Yours was like 4 hours.
Mine was
hours?
4, yeah.
Yeah, which just makes sense because I have longer, thicker hair.
I'm still amazed yours didn't take longer than 5 hours. I thought it was going to take longer than that.
Yeah, I think, again, also, it's because most of my hair was natural, so I probably just lifted faster than...
Yeah, that's true.
Than whatever.
You're lucky in that regard.
But yeah, so went in and did the same thing as you, obviously, like, sat down, and my hairstylist was like, I know you sent me pictures, but let's completely talk about what you want, and I explained the whole story. I was like, so actually, me and my best friend are doing this together because we have a podcast that reached an important milestone. Like, what a...
I know, I explained the whole thing too. My hairdresser was in love with it. She was like, this is so funny.
Our hairstylists were really into the whole journey. And obviously I started earlier just because I'm in an earlier time zone than Raylene. I'm 4 hours ahead of Raylene. Mm-hmm. And so my appointment started at 10. You were still probably asleep. Or at 11, sorry. And you were probably still asleep. But I started sending you photos. And then when you woke up, you had some photos, and then you were like, I'm heading to the appointment now. I was like, get snacks, because I forgot to take snacks, and it was a big mistake. And then you went to your appointment, and we started sending photos back, and my hairstylist kept being like, where's Raylene at? And I would show Sophie the photos and stuff. So I loved, that was really, really fun that we were able to do it at the exact same time.
It is fun.
So first of all, I told my hairstylist all of the whole story and the saga, and they loved it, and they were really invested in how you were gonna get your hair done because they were like, is Raylene doing like the same kind of a balayage-y type thing? And I was like, there's some sort of a twist. Raylene's not doing that anymore.
Classic me, just like made a split second decision.
It's so funny. But then the other thing that I explained, there was so much info. It was such an info dump at the beginning of the session. But I was like, so the other big thing is that I got engaged.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, yay. And I was like, yeah, it's awesome. But it means that in a year, I'm going to get married and I want my hair to be brown. So we've got to like think forward how this is going to look in a year. And Sophie was so good about that because they were like, well, listen, if you want this, then we shouldn't do this, and we should do this, and this will be easy to do, and we'll do it in this way so that these will blend out and all of it. So I just felt like I felt so safe in their hands. I was like, Sophie's got this figured out. I just have to sit here and smile and text Raylene photos. So I'm sure we've inserted some photos and videos here or whatever so everyone can see the experience, and we'll have some on our Instagram well for everyone who wants to see them there and doesn't listen to the or watch the video version. But it was a really fun appointment, and I will say we had a giant conversation throughout the entire appointment. Mm. We kept coming back to this theme of what is peach? Because it is exactly the center point between orange and pink. Like, it's not quite orange and it's not quite pink. It's right in the middle. And Sophie was like, if you had to lean slightly one way, I was like, I guess I'd slightly lean orange, mm-hmm. because when you look at a peach, an actual peach,
yeah, it's more orange.
I feel like they're more orange than they are pink. But then if you think about like the Animal Crossing peach,
that's fully pink.
That's more pink.
Yeah. Yeah, they can really be either one. Like,
it can really
in
vary.
Cartoon
but
world.
I love the color that we landed on. I think on camera, it's looking a lot more dark pink than it is in real life. But especially next week, you guys will see. Once I wash it, it's going
to
fade.
It'll be fun to see it week to week how it changes.
Yeah, it will be fun. And also, at the end of my very long appointment, Sophie was like, do you want a blowout? Do you want to straighten? How do you want to finish it? And I was like, let's just finish it curly because I would like to see how you style it, since that's what I'm going to be doing every single day. And I really appreciated that Sophie like really took into account that my hair is curly. Mm. Like, that is why I found Sophie, because I found that they're really good at curly hair.
Yeah, that's important.
And so that was really important to me because it looks so cute curly, and I just feel like they nailed what it would look like. My favorite part of my hair, I will say, is my little bangs. I love my little peachy bangs. I think they're so cute and funny. So there you go. That's our little saga. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
my favorite
good.
Part really was texting you.
Yeah, it was so funny. And like, my hairdresser became very invested in Ariel's journey and hair as well. Like, when I told her that you have curly hair and that you're getting married soon, she was like, she has to wear her natural curls at her wedding. Like, she was just like, she got very invested in it. She's like, those curls are incredible. Like, don't let her do anything else with them. I was like, I'm sure she'll wear her hair curly, but I can't promise that.
Oh, that's an interesting... That's an interesting conversation, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because on the one hand, I would totally wear my hair curly because I love my curly hair. I actually love my curly hair. Yeah. I think there was a period in like high school where I wavered. Mm. I wavered. I wish I'd had straight hair because of the Princess Diaries. That's a very anti-curly hair movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, every movie from our teenagehood is like, to be a cool chick, you have to have straight hair. That was the vibe. The 2010s loved a flat iron. But I love my curls. But at the same time, when it's a special event, it's kind of fun to do something you wouldn't normally do. So I don't know. I know, for example, Raylene, you wore your glasses.
I was
going to
ask you about glasses,
wedding.
Too.
Yeah, you wore your glasses at your wedding because you were like, this is me. I wear glasses. Every day I wear glasses.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no, you're totally right. On the other hand, I'm like, it's a special occasion and it's kind of fun to like.
And you like to not wear glasses sometimes too. Like, I personally, like how I look with glasses better than how I look without them. But I know that sometimes you'll like not wear glasses as part of your outfit. And I'm like, that's cool too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
if the outfit demands it, I will put on contact lenses.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, today, Raylene, I'm wearing my peach glasses.
I was gonna say you're wearing different glasses, and I like it.
I have pink
see-through frames as well. I should have worn them
a little closer to the camera here, but a year ago I got new glasses, and now I'm showing them to Raylene.
Oh yeah,
his camera's over there. A year ago I got a new prescription, and I ordered a new pair of the exact same glasses I'd been wearing before.
Nice.
Because I love those glasses. But then I was like, actually, I really do need a second pair in case my first pair breaks.
Yeah.
So I got these, which are like a peachy pink. And today I was like, oh, I got to wear the peach pink ones. I might actually transition full time to these. Now
I really like
with
those.
My hair.
Yeah.
This is a big debate. Big debate. I don't know. Are they a little too small? I like a bigger frame. Mm. I like a bigger frame. I'm not sure. Anyways.
I think they look good.
That doesn't matter.
I think they look good.
Thanks, Raylene.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. All right. How about we review some peachy books? It's peachy episode. It's our peachy hair. You know what's another thing?
What?
I think this is going to be fun for spring. I think this is 100%. A nice lightning moment. Looking forward. I will say February was one of the worst months ever.
Yeah.
It always sucks. February always sucks in Canada. It's a dark, dark time.
I'm glad we're past it. I'm ready for spring.
I feel the exact same. Today's a really sunny day. I actually had to close the curtain because it was shining in my eyes. I'm looking forward to a peachy spring. You know, I think it's the vibe we all need around here.
Totally.
So.
Yeah. Speaking of spring, yesterday, my friends and I went for a walk, which I thought was going to be just like a long but normal walk, right? And it turned out to be approximately 21 kilometers in a gigantic loop around a river. And the view was beautiful. It had just snowed a little bit the day before, so the mountains were covered in a dusting of snow. And we were walking and just like having a good time. But it eventually got to a point where it was like, oh, my feet really hurt. And we're only like a third of the way done. Do we turn around and go back the way we came, or do we keep persevering so we can see the rest of this beautiful walk? Right. And we persevered, and we regretted it while it was happening, but we are glad that we did it.
We
learned a lot about our bodies and about what we're capable of and what we want to work towards.
That's so funny.
But we had a really good time being together, and that's what counts. I got to see a lot of cool birds. I got to see some cool trees. So it was worth it, but I am in a lot of pain today.
That's really scary to me. Like, and you're like, we hiked, we're going for a hike. I was like, that's cute. And you're like, we hiked 20 kilometers. I was like, oh no. And you're like, I'm in severe pain.
I am dying. My main problem is I don't have proper walking or hiking shoes. Like, I should have thought about that beforehand. I was just wearing like boots that were, they look like hiking boots, but inside they are not hiking boots. They're fake hiking
boots. They're cute.
Yeah. They're actually the boots I wore at my wedding. That's what I was wearing when we hiked up to my wedding. So that is kind of cute, I guess. But yeah, they're not good for a long walk. My feet started to hurt after like 5 kilometers. But anyway, it's snowing outside right now as I speak. So I'm really glad we went yesterday and not today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we've got such a bright sunny day, which is really nice because yesterday it was chucking it down with rain. And the rest of this week is going to be rainy. That's the horrible thing about spring, right? Like, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
Spring is a mess.
But that's okay.
I don't really like spring, but I'm going to try and embrace it this year.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to embrace every season. That's my new thing. Yeah. It's like, just enjoy it for what it is. When it's gone, you'll probably miss it, or you'll miss some aspect of it. So like, appreciate it while it's here.
No, it's true.
And
lean in.
Exactly.
That's my thing with seasons. Lean in. Do the seasonal activities.
Yeah, actually.
Like, I just enjoy it.
I have a plan for my next crochet project. I haven't gotten any of the materials yet, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to accomplish it, but I want to make a daisy cardigan. And I will link to the pattern I found, and maybe we can put a picture on screen right now.
Wait, I'm obsessed with this idea.
So cute. It's a bunch of granny squares that are just like daisies, and then you stitch them all together, and it's so cute. And I want to be able to wear it at our next Sabbath celebration, which is coming up in just like 2 weeks-ish. So I really need to get cracking.
Ambitious.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but we're going to try. Because how cute would that be? Wearing a little.
We're going to need an update about that next week.
Exactly. I'm getting the ingredients tomorrow, hopefully. So I will.
The ingredients.
Yeah. For my recipe. I always call patterns recipes. That's just a funny little thing about me.
Raylene's just so quirky like that.
I know.
I love that. Okay. Let's talk about peachy books.
Hell yeah.
So, I'll just start.
Please
Why
do.
Not?
I'm so curious what you read.
As my peachy book, Haruki Murakami's manga stories. Haruki Murakami was born in Kyoto, Japan, in 1949. After college, he opened a small jazz bar, which he and his wife ran for 7 years. His first novel, Hear the Wind Sing, won the Gunzuo Literature Prize for Budding Writers in 1979 and launched his career. Manga Stories was published in 2023, was adapted by Jean-Christophe Deveny, and was illustrated by PMGL. You will recall I bought this quite recently. I guess it's not as recent as one would like to believe. It was around Christmas.
Okay.
Which I guess now was like almost 3 months ago.
That's okay.
Time's a-flying.
Yes.
But this is, I think, a perfectly peachy book.
What the cover is insanely peachy. I love it.
It's a... I was like... I had a couple of different, actually I have them here because I had picked out a bunch of peachy books, so maybe it's fun to show you the ones I didn't read. A Complicated Kindness is very peachy, but I felt like it was more orange.
Yeah, yeah.
Expectation by Anna Hope. Oh, that's
perfect, peach.
This one's pretty peachy. I think this would have been a good choice. People from my neighborhood, but it's so short that I felt like maybe I was cheating.
Yeah.
For some reason. And then The Last Children of Tokyo is actually quite peachy. Ooh, as well.
Yeah.
So these were all of my peachy-ish choices, which it was a fun way to pick a read.
Totally.
But I just felt like this really was the most peachy of the books. Like the top is a perfect peach, but then you also have the pink and the yellow.
Yeah.
That just felt very, the whole thing was
it's
very
awesome.
Peach. Yeah. Anyhow, so this is a collection of four of Haruki Murakami's short stories adapted into graphic stories. So they were all illustrated, and I felt middling about it, quite yeah. frankly. I have read a few different collections of graphic novel short stories. Mm. Like, I don't... Are they short stories, graphic stories? I don't know what
short
to call
graphic
them.
Stories, graphic short,
short
stories.
Graphic stories. I don't know exactly.
What's the best way to say that?
I've read a couple of them. And they very rarely work for me. Mm. And so maybe I should just stop trying. But basically, all of these stories ended in a really vague way.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a really vague way, which happens often with short stories where they just like end and you're like,
yeah, okay, what was the point? What actually happened?
Yeah. That's how I felt about every single one of these. I kept thinking like, okay, that one ended a bit vague, but then maybe the next one won't. Mm. Okay, that one also ended a bit vague, but maybe the next one won't. And all four of them ended really vaguely. And I don't like that. I just find it really unsatisfying. Yeah. And I just am like, you're just trying to be literary. You're just trying to be like, oh, and that's the way life is. And I'm like, what is? Like, huh? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, like you can do that once in a while, but not on every story. Like, and maybe that was just like poorly chosen stories of his to put in a collection together.
Totally. I would also say I didn't see a running theme throughout the four stories. Like, I was like, I'm like, why these four?
Mm-hmm.
They're all interesting, but I don't understand why them together were chosen. There didn't seem to be a cohesive theme of any description. And there's no forward or afterward by the publisher explaining why these stories were chosen. So I on the back, it just says his best loved short stories, these iconic short stories. So I'm like, maybe these are just some really popular
ones.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, can I see the cover for a second? I just want to see if I've read any of the others. So we've got Super Frog Saves Tokyo, which I have read. Where I'm Likely to Find It, Birthday Girl, and The Seventh Man. No, I don't think I've read the other three, but Super Frog Saves Tokyo was in After the Quake, which I read right at the end of December, and I really liked that one. But in the context of that collection, it made a lot of sense. I feel like not knowing the other three stories you read, I'm like, I don't know how that
They're would all work. Completely different, and I just found it quite, like I said, middling. I enjoyed certain moments, but overall I can't really recommend it unless if you're a big Haruki Murakami fan, then I would definitely recommend it because it's cool to see his stories come to life. And maybe it would have been cooler if I'd read these stories beforehand, but I just happened to not have encountered these stories of his before.
Yeah.
Birthday Girl was a really cool story. Basically, it's about this waitress who works at this restaurant where no one's ever met the owner. And the manager of the restaurant every day at 8 p.m. takes the owner his dinner, like down a long hallway into his house room. It's kind of like in an apartment building. He takes his dinner and delivers it. But this one day on the main character's birthday, the manager has like a medical episode and has to be taken to the hospital, and he grabs the main character and he's like, take him his dinner, you have to say this, and you, because no one else has ever seen the owner, no one else has ever done this in like over a decade, he's the only one who's ever seen him. So she goes to the owner with a tray, and she's like, God, I don't know what to expect. And he opens the door, and he's just this, like, really friendly old man, like super friendly. And he's like, come in. Thank you for bringing me my food. How are you? How old are you? And she's like, I'm actually 20 as of today. And he's like, oh, it's your birthday. I would like to grant you a wish. And she's like, what? And he's like, yes, I'll grant you a wish. Anything. Anything you ask for.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I'm reading this. I was loving this story.
Yeah, that's
I was
great.
Like, this is so cool. at the same time, you're seeing her like 20 years later.
Oh.
And she's telling this to her friend. She's saying, like, this is what happened right. to me on my 20th birthday. And he's like, gosh, do you, are you happy with what you wished for? And she's like, yeah, I think I asked for the right thing. And he's like, that's cool. Do you feel that it's come true yet? Mm. And she's like, she's kind of vague about it. She's like, well, there's still time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, can I ask what it is?
Yeah.
And then she just like looks off into the distance and the story's over. What?
I want to know what it was.
That's what I'm telling you about how vague the stories were. Mm. I'm like, to me, that's so unsatisfying. I want to know. Want to know what, for me, it doesn't add like a metaphorical resonance to not know.
Right.
So,
yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So anyways, the illustrations were very beautiful. I liked it. I had fun. It's the first graphic novel I've read this year, I think. So it was nice to read a graphic novel. But meh. How'd yours go?
Well, mine, I went in like a very peach forward direction. So I decided to read Eat a Peach by David Chang. David Chang was born in Arlington, Virginia in 1977. In 2004, he opened his first restaurant, Momofuku Noodle Bar, in the East Village of New York City. Over the years, he has opened multiple new restaurants, including one in Sydney, Australia, one in Toronto, and another in Los Angeles. In 2009, Chang released a cookbook called Momofuku together with Peter Meehan. The two of them also co-ran a quarterly magazine called Lucky Peach, which is the English translation of Momofuku, and in 2020 he released his memoir Eat a Peach. Not to mention he's a TV personality and has made many appearances on his own Netflix shows as well as Jon Favreau's The Chef Show. This is a book that I have been meaning to read since last year when I bought it. I bought this at the same...
perfect peach.
I know. It's literally got a peach on the cover, peach in the title. Apparently David Chang is obsessed with peaches, as I learned while I was reading this book, because I didn't realize that Momofuku meant lucky peach. And he also made this magazine. Yeah. And then he made this magazine called Lucky Peach. And he's just like, whoa. I don't know why he named them that, though. He never explains like where the name came from. But he loves the word peach, I guess. So it was kind of perfect. But this is also, it is a memoir. The book has nothing to do with peaches. And so it was just a nice chef memoir for me to read.
Sick.
Yeah. And I didn't really know much about him going into this. So it was definitely like an eye-opening kind of memoir. But it's kind of a weird book also. Like, he explains at the very beginning in the introduction that he kind of wanted this book to be like more like instructions for chefs to like, how would you start a restaurant? And like, once you do have a restaurant, how do you like make it successful? It was kind of more instructional, but it became like more of a memoir. And so it's now this weird hybrid, like in between the two things.
It's kind of like On Writing by Stephen King.
A little bit, but I think, I think Stephen King did it in a much better way. Like, I feel like he was more successful with that formula. With this, I kind of wish that it had just been one or the other. Like, I would have liked to just read an instructional, like, how do you start a restaurant? I find that very interesting. And, like, if it had been just fully a memoir, I feel like that would have been cool, too. And there was even, like, an epilogue, kind of, that was... like 25 or something rules for opening a restaurant. And it was weird because I feel like the whole book had those things peppered throughout, but then he had this like definitive list at the end as well.
Right.
And so I was like, what is going on? But all in all, I think it was an okay book. Like, if you're interested in learning more about him and like how Momofuku got started, like, I didn't realize quite how large of a like industry it has become. Like, it's such a large restaurant group, and it's cool to hear how he started and how like, you know, failure was so close around every single decision that happened. Like, things could have fallen apart so many times. And so that whole aspect was really interesting. But he also talks a lot about his depression and anxiety and like how that helped him with like opening his first restaurant. Like, it really pushed him forward. And because he was kind of like, this is make or break. Like, if this doesn't work out, whatever, that's it for me. He was really much like on the precipice of destruction, of self-destruction. So it was definitely an interesting tale to hear through his voice. I actually also listened to the audiobook for a lot of it because I found having a lot of time to sit down and read when I was reading this. And it was good to listen to the audiobook, though I will say, not my favorite audiobook I've ever listened to. Like, I feel like he was a little bit awkward as a narrator. So keep that in mind. I did find that kind of interesting because I'm like, oh, but he's like, he's a TV personality. Like, he talks a
lot. Yeah, I've seen videos of his and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something about him reading the book that felt kind of, like, stilted sometimes. So just keep that in mind. It's, yeah, it's not as good as Stanley Tucci's, unfortunately. That was a really good audiobook. But
so we are not peachy book fans, I guess, it turns out.
Not in this scenario. The only other options I really had, I think there was only other one that I was considering. I was also thinking the Manual for Cleaning Women by Lucia Berlin.
Oh, yes.
Because that one is like a perfectly peachy book as well, but it's kind of long. Totally, it's a short story collection and it is fairly long. So I'm saving that one for another time. But yeah, that was my only other option. Maybe it would have been a better option, but I am glad that I read this. And like, I do think it is the peachiest book I own, so I kind of had to.
Can I tell you my Momofuku story?
Yes, I know you've been to one of them, right? Or I don't know.
Yes, I have a good tale. Kay. I have a good tale when it comes to this
Okay,
one.
Please.
So I was in Toronto during a YouTubery event thing, and a bunch of us, after the event was over, wanted to get dinner. We went to a restaurant and it had like an hour wait. And we were like, that's way too long to wait. So we went to another restaurant and they were like, we've got like an hour wait. We're like, oh, it's long, way too long. And we were like, should we try Momofuku? Like, that's where we wanted to go.
Yeah.
We were all excited about it. And if everything is going to be an hour wait, we may as well wait there.
Right.
Right. So we go to Momofuku and they had like an hour and a half wait. But they had like a little lounge area that you could sit in while you waited. So we're like, if we're going to have to wait almost everywhere we go anyways, we may as well wait here. We get to go to the restaurant we actually want to go to and we can sit in like a loungy place. So we just got put on the wait list and we all just plopped down and started waiting. Then one of our friends who I won't name anyone just in case. So one of our friends who was in our group, they'd been running late. And they were like, are you guys still at this other restaurant? And I texted and I was like, actually, no, they all had a really long wait and we all really wanted to do Momofuku. So we still have to wait like an hour 15 before we get in, but that's what we're going to commit to. And he was like, oh, I know the head chef there. He's my cousin. Hold on.
Oh.
And I know it was really, it was so cool. He showed up like 10 minutes later and he was like, we've got a table upstairs. And we're like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
So we all followed him. It was like a group of like six or seven of us. Like, it was kind of a bigger group. Yeah. That's why we had to wait so long for a big table. He was like, come on, we can go upstairs. So we went upstairs into this really cool booth and the chef came out and said hi to us, shook all of our hands and said, I'm so excited to see you, cousin. It's so nice that you're here. Thanks for bringing your friends. I'm just going to send out some food. Is that all right? And we're like, yeah,
of course.
Of course. So first of all, we got it for free, but secondly, we basically got this tasting menu all of this really cool food that got sent out. We didn't get to choose any of it, which was awesome.
Like, I love that.
It was such a cool experience having this incredible restaurant with these incredible world-class Toronto chefs and everything just sending out the food that they wanted to send us, and we all ate so much food. It was so cool. I've never felt more like a rock star.
What's really cool about that too is in the book that David Chang is saying, like, he talks about how that's like his favorite thing to do, because like when they start like just, you know, sending food to friends, basically. It's like, because basically when they first started the restaurant, like, they weren't getting a lot of, you know, people just off the street kind of like coming in and enjoying their food, because they felt like they were kind of doing like crazy stuff with food and it maybe wasn't like resonating with people. And so they're like, our favorite thing is actually to like make food for our chef friends, because they're willing to try the weirder things and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool that you had that experience.
That is cool. It was so cool. And I've never been back to Momofuku because it's very expensive and only in big fancy cities. So I've never gone back. But my one experience of it was so cool.
That's awesome.
It really was one of like the best culinary and restaurant experiences I've ever had. All right, so that's our peachy books, that's our peachy time. Now we're just back to being the same old pod, huh?
Forget about
the time to talk about other books. So I will start off by saying I finished Seven Empty Houses by Samantha Schweblin. Originally from Buenos Aires, Samantha Schweblin lives in Berlin. Of her four works that have been translated into English, three have been nominated for the Booker International Prize. Seven Empty Houses was published in late 2023 with a translation by Megan McDowell, who has translated all of Schweblin's books and who was born in Kentucky and now lives in Chile. basically the other day I had to drive and get Connor at the airport, so I had multiple hours in the car, and I was like, what am I gonna listen to? I was like, I should listen to an audiobook. What do I have? I didn't have anything on the go because I'd finished On Writing, like I mentioned, and then I was like, I wonder if the library has Seven Empty Houses. That would be very convenient. And they totally did. So I just listened to the, like, the last two or three stories on audio. And it was really cool. It was a great audiobook because all the stories were read by different narrators.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I, like, for some reason it felt like they were all, I should have looked this up. It looked like, or it sounded like they were all authors for some reason.
That's audio
book. Like, they were all, if anything, they all just had really beautiful, cool names.
Yeah.
Like, they all had really, one of them was a Castillo, which is my last name in Spanish, my mom's last name. But yeah, I'm trying to see, like, are these people writers or just all really great narrators? But they were all Latino, which was cool. Anyways, it was a really great audiobook. So if you want to listen to a short story audiobook, I do recommend this one. The narrators were really good.
Nice.
However, middling. Okay, that's the word of the day for me.
Yeah.
Middling on this collection. I know I shouldn't get this obsessed with the title, but allow me a moment.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I don't get why this is called Seven Empty Houses. I don't understand. I don't get it. And it's called Seven Empty Houses in Spanish as well. Like, the original title is the Spanish equivalent of Seven Empty Houses. So this is supposed to be the title. It's not like they changed it in English and suddenly it doesn't make sense or something. The last two stories weren't even set in a house.
What?
The house was like, in the one of them, they leave the house right at the beginning. In the other one, it also starts as she walks away from her apartment. So I'm like,
so the houses are empty, I guess, technically.
No. Like, in that one, she left her mom behind in the apartment. So I'm like, okay, the house isn't even empty.
Maybe she's an empty house.
Maybe we're all empty houses. Gazes
into the distance.
I don't know why it was called that. I think it's misleading. Obviously, you can call your book whatever you want. But also, then the back of the book says, the seven houses in the seven stories are strange.
So yeah.
The synopsis is like leaning into making me believe that these were all going to be
seven about houses. Weird houses.
As you know, I like houses. Like, weirdly, a big part of my personality now is my house. And so I was excited to read about houses and like the relationship between people and their homes. Mm-hmm. That's a really cool topic. But that is not what these stories are about at all. Ugh. So I found that just annoying and, like, it's not a big deal, but it did bother me the whole time.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And overall, I liked the stories, but I didn't love any of them. I wasn't like, okay. So for me, the sign of, like, when I really love a short story is when I make Connor read it. I'm like, oh my God, Connor, you have to read this. And I will, like, hand it to him. And it does happen. And it has happened, but it did not happen this time.
Ooh,
it did not pass that very important litmus test. So I finished that and I was glad that I finished it because I didn't hate it by any means. It just, for me, was middling. And then I was like, what am I going to read next? And so I transitioned over to Homesick for Another World by Otessa Moshfegh.
Yes.
Now, this is a book that I'm almost finished as of like 2 years ago.
You've been so close for so long.
I've been so close for so long. And so I listened to a short story because I bought the audiobook for this on Libro FM ages ago. So I listened to a story that was like an hour long and it was pretty good.
I'm telling you, the last couple of stories, there was, I remember one that I really liked.
Yeah, so it was pretty good. It was better than what I remember these being like. And you know why? Because it was not grotesque. It was the one about the guy who wants to make it in Hollywood.
Okay.
Do you remember that one?
I don't remember it specifically. I remember one about boys on a beach or something. That one.
Okay. That might be the next one. Okay. Dancing in the Moonlight. But yeah, so I only have four stories left. And I think the audiobook thing told me I have like an hour and a half left.
Okay, that's not bad.
So I'm like, okay, definitely going to focus in on this one and finish this one up. But yeah, It's good. I want to like short stories. I do. Because the concept, like, I love short novels. I like something that's short and succinct and specific. And, like, the author has an idea and they explain it to you and that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
But I find with short stories that, like, maybe it just is too short. Like, they just don't have enough time to make an interesting point, usually. Like, it's enough to set a stage.
I think it takes
skill to do much on
to write a really good short story.
I think it does.
It's harder than it looks.
No, I think you're right.
So I think if you, like, I'll definitely keep that in mind. If I read a really great short story, like, I will let you know. Because I am also always on the hunt for great short stories. Like, I've read a lot of collections now, and most of them have been middling. But there are a few that stick out. And I think it's that are really, really worth reading. So
it's fascinating because so many authors start with short stories, which makes sense because a short story can be published in a magazine. It can be published in an anthology. It's like a lot more marketable for those kinds of smaller avenues at the beginning of your career. But you'd think, therefore, that more people would be like acing this thing.
Yeah.
But I just find it that it is, like you said, actually is a very masterful skill to be able to put everything into a short story and have it, like, not only build a full world and a full character, but then say something with that
tale. Yeah, it's tough.
It is.
But when done well, it is like the best thing ever.
Like, super satisfying. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at reading wise this week. What about you?
Ooh, okay. Well, I have gone through another DNFing that I wanted to mention.
The great DNFing.
It seems to be
how
happening.
How many books have you DNFed this year?
This is the third one, I think.
Wow.
Possibly fourth, but I think it's the third. I am keeping track on my spreadsheet, so at the end of the year I can see what I've done.
Whoa.
And DNFing, actually, I've realized, really fits into my philosophy for reading this year, which is one, to not, like, read tons of books. And something that I discovered is that what I historically have done to read a lot is that as soon as I stop enjoying a book a little bit, I'll just put on the audiobook and blast my way through to the end.
Yes.
So at that point, I'm like, am I even really reading the book? Like, I'm not really wanting to. And so I'm kind of just listening to it to get it over with. And this year I decided not to listen to audiobooks. Obviously, I made an exception for my Peach book because it was, like, actually helping me read the book. But in general, I don't want to do that anymore. And so my answer
is
either...
Do you mean just not using them as that kind of
final gas
pedal
thing? I think so, yeah. Like, I don't want to cut them out completely, but I definitely have been using it almost exclusively for that reason. And so I'm just trying to, like, turn it off in my head a little bit. Like, get the audiobook if it's going to help. Don't get it if it's going to just hurt the book and hurt the feelings. And so since I've stopped doing that, and since I've kind of made that switch in my head, I've become a lot more okay with DNFing things, because it's like, the reason I was doing that before is because I wanted to check it off as read. You know, I want to have that extra book listed as something I read. But since this year, I don't want to have a high number. I don't care about having a high number. I'm like, whatever. I could be happy.
Yeah.
I can be free. Being free is like my number one goal for reading. So anyways.
I think it's going to be so hysterical if next year you suddenly just start finishing all these books. You're like, oh, yeah, I didn't want to finish it, but now suddenly I'm really inspired.
That's funny. I know that's not going to happen.
I'm teasing you.
I know, because I'm so decisive. When I decide I'm done with something, I'm like, it's cut out of my life. It's gone.
It's
I've already sold
why,
it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. This is why you actually are the only minimalist friend that I have, because Raylene will just message me and be like, I got rid of our winter tires. Or not our winter tires. I got rid of these tires. Yeah. I'm like, okay. You're like, we don't need them. I'm like, you're right. You're like, I got rid of the snowboard. We haven't gone snowboarding in 7 years.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then with books,
I'm just very logical.
With books, you're the same way. You're like, I'm done with the book now. It's gone. I've sold it. I'm like, yep. Yes. I love that. It's very, like, cut and dry. You're like, this is clear to me.
Exactly. I just don't have time for all the wishy-washy, oh, should I? Shouldn't I? It's just not who I am. But anyway, all that to say, I did unfortunately DNF The Last Unicorn.
No!
So
that's okay.
I was noticing that I was really dreading picking it up. I would say the beginning of the book is really strong. It starts out really beautifully, just like describing this unicorn who is like very beautiful, but also very alone, just living in this wood. And like every step she takes, like kind of releases magic. And like, it's very beautiful and magical. But then it kind of turns into this journey with this weird magician guy. And they pick someone else up along the way. And I just didn't care about their story and what was going on. It felt kind of like confusing. It felt like it was a fairy tale, which could have been for kids or adults at different moments. Like, depending on what part you were at, it had a different kind of tone. And but it also was giving me kind of like the Princess Bride silliness a little bit. Yep. And I was kind of just like, ah, I don't want to read this. Yep. I'd rather be reading The Princess Bride. Like, it, as soon as I kind of made that connection, I was like, oh, I'm not enjoying this nearly as much as I enjoyed that book. And so it kind of made me think like, oh, I don't think I'm actually liking this. And so I just decided it's just a not for me.
Good for you.
And
good for you.
It felt kind of like it made sense too, because one of my good friends read this book a few years ago and hated it. And she's been telling me ever since then, like, that's not a good book. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure it's great. Patrick Rothfuss loves it. Everybody loves it. I'll give it a go. And now I'm like, no, I understand where she was coming from. So it's unfortunate. Ariel did buy me this book, so I feel bad, but I don't feel
bad. I'm not offended, you know? Because I have gotten you lots of great books that you've
have. Yeah.
So I feel like I have actually a pretty good track record with buying you books.
And you can never fully know. It's not like you wrote the book and, you know, you had good ideas when you bought it for
me. Yeah. I'm not upset about that, because you just last week read Private Eye and liked it.
So. It was so good. Yeah. You just...
There you go.
You never can know.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah. But I then decided... I mean, I kind of have made up for it, I think, by reading a book that you picked for me.
Yeah.
This is like the Ariel reading week. So when I was at my hair appointment, I had just DNF'd this like a couple days before and hadn't been able to figure out what I wanted to read next. And so I was just sitting there. I brought my little e-reader and I was like, Ariel, help me pick a book. And so I sent her a picture of one page of my e-reader and she was like, okay, this is the book you're going to read. So I am now reading Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. And it was the perfect choice. Yes. Let me tell you, it is exactly what I needed. It's very like plot driven, but also character driven in the same way that The Martian is. Like, this follows one dude and he wakes up. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't even know his own name. He has no idea what's going on. And it's just about him like figuring out what's going on and like trying to remember who he is and stuff. And it's so interesting. Like, that it sounds like it could be kind of lame, but I really like it. And so and it's quite a long book. So I'm like, it's definitely going to get adventure-y and like he's in space. Like, that much is pretty obvious. So, it's really good. I'm really glad you picked it for me, because it's kind of like, I probably wouldn't have picked it for myself, because the other thing is I've been trying to read lots of classics recently, or like older books, to try and like keep my yearly average down or whatever. And that's the other thing that kind of sucks about DNFing some of these books, like A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, The Last Unicorn. Both of those came out in like the 40s and 60s. They would have been great for bringing my average down, but I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
That is not the point. I want to be happy. So I'm going to read this book that came out in 2021, and that is okay.
I totally forgot about that when I chose that book for you. What I was really thinking was, like, I think Raylene needs a win. Like, I
agree.
Like,
I really do. Like, I was starting to feel kind of sad.
But other than Private Eye, lately you've been DNFing quite a few books and just feeling like about a lot of books. And so I was like, I feel like because I didn't know what you were going to send me. You were just like, I have my e-reader. I was like, send me a photo of one page worth of books and I'll pick one out of those six or seven or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever she sends me, I'm going to just pick the one that I think is the most plot, like action heavy adventure plot. And then I saw that one and I was like, my dad really liked that book as well. So I had this little stamp of approval in the back of my mind.
Awesome.
Mainly, I was just like, that book is fun, I think. So I picked that one. So I'm glad it's working out. That's fun.
Yeah, it was the perfect choice. You really nailed it. I also got a couple of books this week.
Cool.
Did you? Or am I alone
over
here? Oh, God. Okay. So mine was because I had pre-ordered a book that was a new release.
Yeah.
So I'll start with that one. I got Wandering Stars by Tommy Orange. So this is the author who wrote There There, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
And this one is kind of connected to the world of There There. Like, it's set in a similar scenario. I think it's actually set like quite a long, set in 1864. So this is like taking it back to like the original kind of inciting incident that is referred back to in There There. I'm like, this is gonna be so good.
So it's connected?
It's connected, yeah.
Is it a sequel? Well, or a prequel?
It's kind of,
or
I mean,
is it just kind of
I would
loose?
Say it's like an unofficial prequel, but I can't really say for sure without having read it. But
sure, you haven't read it.
I also I do think I want to reread There There before reading this though, just so I can like be fully immersed in it. And There There is such a good quick read, so so that's kind of where I'm thinking with that, but I'm really excited to own that.
Cool.
But then my local used bookstore also gave me a call because one of my requests came in, and it was Delicates by Brenna Thumler.
Oh my God, yay!
I have not read this yet.
Okay, so cool.
I'm so excited to finally own this, and I still don't have lights, so I don't have the full trilogy, but I think sometime this year I may have to do a little reread of Sheets and then also read this and possibly buy lights so I can read it. So I'm really excited. It's bigger than I thought it was going to be. It's like a little bit bigger than Sheets.
It is. It's long. Yeah. It's longer than the first one.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I feel really good about that little haul.
It is time for the mailroom. So this is a segment where we look at comments from across the board, a lot from our Patreon, our Discord, but also YouTube land, and we pull some ones that we want to highlight. So basically last week's episode went way longer than we thought it was going to.
Yeah,
and so some of these comments are from like over a week or 2 weeks ago or whatever. Mm. So bear with me, but I really wanted to read this one. It says, from Dre Ale Fox, for consideration, maybe a yellow kayak, put a decal on the red one that says ketchup and a decal on the yellow one that says mustard.
I saw a couple comments like that on Discord
people
as well.
Are excited about the kayak situation. I'll update you if that gets updated. It's a terrible time to buy a kayak. It's freaking the first week of March. It's cold. Yeah. It's like still ice. So it probably will be a couple months before anything there happens. But we also got this comment from Bia Lynn's Bear 2681 that says Ariel and Raylene should buy peach kayaks and do a special episode from a lake or a beach matching their brand new peach
my
hair.
God.
Imagine us just, I love the vision, the visual idea of us on little kayaks floating and recording like all this podcast equipment out on the sea.
It is also funny to imagine us like where we live. Like you're still in Nova Scotia, I'm still in BC. We just both separate.
Oh my God, I was thinking we're together, but it's even funnier if we're still apart. Oh, sorry, you're breaking up. Ah, I got some water in my kayak.
Oh, that is really funny.
Okay, this was a really interesting comment from Betty Anderson. Literary translator here waves. She had a little wave emoji waving at me. So this was in response to me talking about how strange I thought it was that in that letter collection I read between Hervé and Eugène, the translator was like, I am not going to be translating when they say je t'embrasse because it's kind of untranslatable and it could be mean this. So she had like, the translator had a foreword about it, but decided not to translate it. So literary translator here. Personally, I quite like the decision of leaving je t'embrasse untranslated with that motivation. Since languages obviously don't have a one-to-one ratio, some things are kind of untranslatable, especially in the context of a goodbye in a letter. In the text, you can probably work yourself around a seemingly untranslatable phrase by using more words to try and convey the thing another language can say in just one word. But in the ending of a letter, which is usually very short, I think it might be difficult to convey the double meaning that the phrase seems to have. And rather than watering it down or misrepresenting it, the translator chose to leave it and instead simply explain it, which I personally think is a fine decision and something I could have probably done myself in this context. I translate from English to Swedish, and Swedish translations tend to rely on the fact that pretty much all Swedish speakers also know English. Mm. So it's pretty common to see an English phrase here and there, especially in slang and such. But this, of course, is just the opinion of one wee translator who mostly translates middle grade fantasy. I'm sure there are those who disagree. I thought this was such a cool perspective.
Totally.
Thank you, Betty, for such an interesting, cool comment. It was just like, I'm a translator and this is what I think. And I'm like, that's so cool. I loved hearing your thoughts.
Yeah, it's cool. We never hear from translators. Like we talk about translation a lot, but we never get to hear back from people who actually do it.
It's
so
really cool. I still personally disagree, but that's okay. That's what's so beautiful about the whole thing, right? We can disagree and have different opinions about the reading thing. But I loved this perspective and it did make me think a little bit. I spend a lot of my life translating. A big part of my life is translating because I'm constantly translating between my mom and the whole world. And so I know what you mean. There are a lot of words that are completely untranslatable, but I don't, I'm just like, but you can still find a way.
You can always try.
You know what's the one that disturbs me the most, Raylene?
Oh, what?
Cute. There is no Spanish word for cute.
Oh, that's
or adorable.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that you sucks. Don't realize how good of a word that is until you can't use it.
Hmm.
Because you're like, all of the Spanish words that you might use just don't hit the same. Hmm. They're not the same thing. And you're just kind of saying it's nice or it's pretty or it's, you know, or it's little. Like you're like trying to approach it, but there is no perfect word. Oh. And it is fascinating.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'll stop now. It is fascinating. Kem says, I just received my first bookmark delivery and I'm in love. They're my go-to bookmarks now. I was just really happy that they got the bookmarks and love them because I think that's they're great. So beautiful. Okay, MJ in Canada says, Ariel, I suggest you avoid reading the prose of Gertrude Stein. She renounced almost all punctuation. Stein felt that exclamation marks and quotation marks are unnecessary and ugly. Oh. As for the question mark, she found it revolting and completely uninteresting. And commas or semicolons? No, never.
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
Gertrude?
I didn't know that Gertrude? About her.
I didn't know that either. I've heard that most people don't like Gertrude Stein's writing. Mm. I really wanted to read something that she's, and I still plan on doing it someday. I think I have a tiny little, you know those little penguin mini books, mm-hmm. the little teal ones? I think I might have a Gertrude Stein one of that. But I've heard that people don't like her writing.
Mm.
Like it's really stuffy. And I just love Kathy Bates's interpretation of Gertrude Stein in Midnight in Paris. Oh. So I always thought I'd like Gertrude Stein, but maybe not.
Yeah, that's funny.
Maybe not. Okay, my final comment that I pulled, there were so many good ones this time, was from Elizabeth. And she said, nothing is more iconic than the epigraph at the start of Eclipse in the Twilight series, though. Ha 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 ha. So this was in response to our big conversation about epigraphs. Mm-hmm. We got a comment in one of our Reading Confessions eps that someone who had sent in a message hated epigraphs, thought they were pretentious and stupid. And I like kind of fought back. I was like, no, epigraphs are beautiful. But now Elizabeth says that the one in Eclipse is very epic. Now, I don't remember it. You've laughed. So do you remember
it? No, I don't. But I laugh because it's freaking Twilight. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. So I pulled this down from my shelf and I haven't looked at it.
It's probably Shakespeare. Like, I have no idea. It's probably something so ridiculous.
I'm very excited. Okay, to my husband. That can't be right. So, oh, it's a Robert Frost poem.
Okay.
Fire and ice. Sorry, I have to read this seriously. Some say the world will end in fire. Some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. But if it had to perish twice, I think I know enough of hate to say that for destruction, ice is also great and would suffice. Robert Frost. Whoa. You know what? And then there's a little preface that the last sentence of the preface is, somewhere, far, far away, in the cold forest, a wolf howled.
Man, you're making me want to reread Twilight right now.
God, it's good. It's good.
It is so good.
Oh, that's nice. That's really cool. Okay, wait. Now I'm also looking at the dedication. Also to my children, Gabe, Seth, and Eli, for letting me experience the kind of love that people freely die for. Okay, Seth is one of the wolf
characters. I was just thinking that. She named one of the characters.
But is Gabe and Eli in the book? I don't think there's a Gabe and an Eli.
No.
Are you allowed to pick one of your kids?
That's
to put in the
crazy.
Book? Oh, we know who's the favorite. Twilight is perfect. Moving right along. All right, Raylene, what about you?
Okay.
What comments did you
find? Yeah, I've got like an assortment of random things. So I'll start out with this one from Rachel, who has let us know that the Days at the Murasaki Bookshop is getting a sequel. I don't know if you knew about this. There's a second book called More Days at the Murasaki
Bookshop.
You know what?
No. No.
Quite frankly,
I don't
no.
like it. I say no.
Big old no.
I'm a sequels hater, though. I don't like series. Just give me one book, make it great, and let's move on.
I agree. I haven't read that book yet, but I agree with you on principle. Like, most books, I think, shouldn't be series. Like, if it sets out to be a series from the beginning and you know that's what you're getting yourself into, sure. But this feels wrong. But anyway, it's still exciting for anybody who wants it.
You know what? all success to the author. Congratulations. Yes. I'm proud of you.
And that book comes out July 2nd.
Cool. Okay.
And next up, this was a cute little thing that just happened in our Discord that I wanted to shout out in case anybody needs needs another reason to maybe join our Patreon. KTD in our Discord has set up a channel, or asked me to set up a channel for pen pals. So people are now setting up little pairings to send each other letters. And I just love it. So I just wanted to give a shout out to KTD for doing that. And that if you want to participate, we have a whole channel for that. And there's a form that's being filled out. It's all very official and very cool. So I love that they have done that.
They're organizing.
Exactly. I love it. I love it when my people are organizing. Next up is one from Aaron, who says, Ariel, please know I bought the Yorkshire biscuit tea and it is so delightful. Totally random. The comments I picked are kind of all over the map.
I love that, though. I love that they're all over the map, and I love that they got the Yorkshire tea.
Right?
Biscuit tea.
Yes, it is so a good tea. Good. Agreed. Ariel sent me some of it, and it's good.
I have to buy that online. Nowhere near me sells it. I have to literally order it from the internet.
Damn. Although that reminds me, there is a tea shop that I haven't been to yet, but is near where I live. That's kind of an oldie, ye oldie kind of tea shop vibe. Yeah. And now I'm maybe I should go check there and see if I can hook you up.
Oh my God, that'd be
anyways,
cool.
The last comment I have here is from Gratis Winter, who also was commenting on your kayak situation. They said a yellow kayak would be fun, goes well with red, and easy to find if lost. So
okay, whoa there. let's not jinx anything here.
It's true though, a yellow kayak really stands out. So
it does really stand out. I think I'd want a purple kayak.
I know purple seems more aerial. I feel like yellow and red is kind of a crazy look. That just makes me think of McDonald's. I don't think we need that. I don't think that's what
do
we
you
need.
Guys know that Raylene hates ketchup.
Any condiment really. I'm against it.
Put you on blast here.
No, I think
but,
that people
Raylene
should know.
Hates ketchup.
It is a big part of my personality. Yeah, yellow and red together just triggers me. I'm like, ew, that's not nice. That really icks me out.
So Raylene doesn't like the ketchup mustard idea. I knew it as I was saying it out loud. I was like, I shouldn't have said it.
I know. I saw one of those comments too, and I was like, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm going to leave that out of it.
Oh boy.
That's all I've got.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us on this episode of the pod, this very peachy episode.
Yes.
We at the end here, I do just want to do a very sincere thank you to everyone who's ever joined our Patreon. Yeah. Everyone that's there now, but also there's lots of people who have joined in the last few years and left. Mm-hmm. And no matter how long you were at the Patreon for, thank you. And we were so happy to do the peach hair because it's a physical tribute to the accomplishment of reaching so much support on Patreon. Yeah. I was so happy to do it. I was sitting in that chair
it was the best day ever.
Happily do that. Yeah. It was the best day ever. And it was just so nice to kind of take the moment to be so grateful for everyone who supported the podcast. Mm-hmm. I know that when we started it, we didn't think that it would, maybe we didn't think about it that much, but I don't think we thought it would be this big a part of our lives.
True.
Or you literally get to work one day less at your work because this is now part of your job. And
totally.
I get to put so many hours into making this such a fun thing. So I love the pod. Raylene loves the pod. We love the pod. Mm-hmm. We're so grateful to everyone who's ever supported it. We always work so hard to make the Patreon a lot of fun. I guess as a reminder, we do a monthly live show. We each upload a reading vlog there every month, but we also have the Discord there. You get early access to the episodes. They're uploaded a few days early there for the people who just can't wait. You guys get it a couple of days early, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a perk or two there, but we love the Patreon and we love the patrons.
Yes.
But of course, we also just love everyone who listens to the pod. Thank you all for being here. We feel really lucky. So we'll leave it there. We're going to go record that's the other bonus. We do a mini podcast after every, they're very nice.
Yeah,
after
yeah.
every episode, we do a mini podcast that goes out every week. So we're going to go record our Patreon mini podcast, Movie Tub, where we talk about the movies and shows we've been watching. And we'll talk to everyone over there.
Bye.